You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective.
That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc, 1947.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing the four most unhealthy life patterns that we fall in the trap of. How to stop the cycle and how to move on with your life. Good evening, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Ashley. About yourself?
Oh, great night. Great night. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. So
beautiful and, Sunday. Beautiful Sunday evening.
Yes, it is. And I'm real interested to see what you got on tap for us tonight.
Well, I am, too. Hey, Keenan, what's going on?
Nothing much. You know me, just doing a little bit of scientific research or, like, reading all these nerd magazines, nerd publications or whatever. Apparently, they found these bioorganisms or something like that the Antarctica, which raises the question about life on Europa, you know, the moon from Jupiter.
Yeah.
Because there's water on there. So the thing is, there might be like
beautiful
all these microorganisms living within the ice of Europa.
I'm very interested in knowing that. And if anybody like NASA wants to ship us there, I think we'll go.
You know, so in other words, Keenan's pimping and chilling, you know, just normal day.
I would definitely go check out Europa. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, you can actually probably walk on the surface of Europa. The thing is, it'll be pretty cold. Yeah, it'll be pretty cold.
It'll be cold. It'll be cold.
Now, we don't need Europa. We got Uranus.
Oh!
That's a scientist joke.
That was a great show, guys. Great having you all tonight. I think that was pretty funny. That was awesome. Yeah, but let's talk tonight about the four most unhealthy life patterns that we tend to fall trap. You know, I think the first thing that we do is we tend to choose a job that we ultimately quit. And I think a lot of people listening tonight, and I know that I have been party to this as well. I know Bill has. I'm not sure if Keenan has, but I know that a lot of people choose a job, right? We choose a job that we think is the right job. It might be the right title. It might provide the right money. Or it might be the job that you think that you should have or you should be doing. Or you think that society thinks that you should be doing this, but you necessarily don't want to do this job. And so guess what? You do all this work, you get the job, and then you eventually quit. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in that cycle before?
Who, me? Oh, yeah. I've been in that cycle before. Couple of times. You know, I remember I worked at one place. It was retail. And the thing is, I'm the worst salesman there is. I really am. Granted, I mean, in real life, I do work in marketing. But when it comes to actual sales, I'm bad at it because the thing is, I actually have an opinion about stuff. And so if someone was to ask me, hey, is this a good product? And I don't think it's a good product, I might mess around and be like, actually, dude, I wouldn't buy this.
I would actually go down the street and buy this other product because it's a lot better.
Because exactly,
that's what I own, too. That's what I have.
Yeah. You know, so I worked like a retail job and only worked there for like maybe 2 weeks. I got fired pretty much because I was stated that, you know, I didn't fit in. So, yeah, I mean, I've been in that situation.
What about you, Bill? I know with your previous career, your second life, your other life.
Yeah, I was an insurance agent for almost 12 years.
And so you've been through it. You know what I'm saying. You went for that job based upon something where you thought you wanted it, and then you realized you didn't.
Yeah. I mean, and I did it because it provided a good living, and I thought that's kind of what you did. You found a job that had a good living, and, you know, you get married and have 2.5 kids, and, You know, house in the suburbs, white picket fence, dog in the back, you know, backyard.
Well, you know, everybody has to do what they do. I agree. But, you know, it's funny how when we do choose a job that we ultimately need to quit, it's like everything else is kind of falling by the wayside as well. You know, it's funny how people think, oh, it's just a job, so I can just leave it, like in your situation, you know? I mean, but at the same point in time, most of the time when we choose that, there's other things suffering in our life.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that I came to the realization that it's not enough just to make money at it. I mean, although, you know, you obviously have bills to pay. Okay. So there's one thing, you know, family to raise, whatever your situation is. But, you know, that job, if you're not satisfied at it, if it doesn't fulfill something in your soul, you know, not to get too existential about it, but
Bill said soul.
Yeah. But, you know, if it doesn't, you know, do anything for you, so to speak, then you're spinning your wheels, really. And I know lots of people who make a good living material-wise, but they're miserable.
True. And I also know other people on the flip side where they continue to go back to school to get a degree, and every time they get that degree, they go out to the workforce to find a job, and then they figure they want to get another degree. And then they go try to find it. They try to go through another degree process, but they never really go work. They're like this ultimate student.
Yeah, they're constantly in school. You know, because they, you know, they want to study something, and the thing is, they find that, well, at first it's like, oh yes, I'm passionate about it, and then they start getting into it and find out the amount of work that might be in it, and they're like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, or you know, maybe I'll do something else, you know. And at the same time, though, a lot of people do go to school and they take up certain majors because they think that's what they're supposed to do. Like, for example, I mean, I know of a lot of African Americans who will go to college and they will get business degrees, you know, because I'll talk to some people like, hey, what are you going to college for? Oh, I'm going for business. I'm going to own my own business. Okay, own your own business doing what? What is it that you have that the world absolutely needs?
Oh, and you're right. Everybody's going to get a business degree. I mean, the business degree is It's like so overpopulated. I mean, how many people are graduating with that? And then I don't know how many people that are graduated with that and doing something, and all of a sudden they turn around and they decide they want to do construction.
I'm sorry, actually, that was the trap that I fell into, was that, you know, my first plans coming out of high school didn't work out. You know, I thought I wanted to be an engineer. Turns out I'm actually not that good at math.
Well, that's important.
Yeah,
not the engineer thing.
You know, that's kind of important. So when that didn't work, you know, family and counselors all said, well, you got to find some way to make a living.
True.
So I went into the business, you know, got a management degree. Didn't know what I wanted to do with it, but I got it. And, you know, it got me a job with an insurance company. But it's not like, you know, first grade, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't write insurance agent.
I want to be a manager.
Yeah, you know, I want to be a manager, you know, I mean, but.
But it's true. Yeah. And I think a lot of people find themselves in that situation because, you know, like I say all the time is that we're just grown up children. I mean, in all honest respect, I mean, a lot of times people say once you hit 21, you're an adult. But really, I mean, you're just a grown up child. I mean, you know as much as you did then. And we choose a lot of these jobs consequently based on societal situations, what people think we should do, what your counselor thinks you should do, because you think, well, God bless, I hope they know more than I do. You know, and sometimes you're just confused because you don't even know how to take what you love and make it into a career. Because you're not really thinking existentially wise, if I do this and that and I do this and that, can I get this? And I also think, dude, what about the fact that, you know, the job is like our calling card, like in society today. What do you do?
Yeah, like, what do you do is pretty much your personality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for example, I know lawyers. You know, I know a couple of guys who are lawyers and they act like lawyers 24/7, you know, or like even with, you know, me. When I was in the Air Force, you know, hey, what do you do? Well, I'm in the Air Force. So at all times, you know, I had to act as if I'm in the military and stuff like that. And so even nowadays, you know, I just got a new job. I work in marketing. Well, what do you do? I work in marketing. And now all these people are wanting me to give them business cards and everything else. And they're like asking me all these questions about marketing, even though I never studied marketing.
Right.
You know, but it's
a title.
Yeah. It's a title.
It's a title. And it's like, we never really think you never grow up as a kid going, okay, I want to have that title. You grow up as a kid going, I love doing this. I love being here. I love being there. I love doing that. But what title is that? I mean, and then you try to like take it and break it down into some sort of small little thing. And that those are titles that you're supposed to, you know, get a degree in.
Yeah, and it's also a result of American society, actually. I mean, we don't define ourselves by, you know, what status in life we were born in. We define ourselves by what we do. I mean, think about it. First, you know, somebody, you meet somebody for the first time. Oh, what do you do?
Well, it's good that they don't define us as our status as, like, our family and stuff, too, because some of us would never get out of it, you know?
Yeah,
some of us would be stuck. So, like, think about, like, in India and stuff. I know that a lot of listeners that listen internationally are in India, and so they actually have, like, a caste system there still. So their caste system, they can't even send an application into certain companies if they're not at a certain caste level.
Mm.
And that's very interesting, because they can go all the school and do all the education they want, but if they're still at a caste level, they can only apply to certain things.
Okay.
And so that's very interesting how at least we're not stuck in that. I mean, at least the United States, you get a chance. You know, you get a chance to take yourself out of where you were, you know, instead of being defined as, well, I'm so-and-so, I'm on this caste system. You know, it's like, think about the Titanic back in the day. They had caste systems. You had different places on the Titanic, you know, on the boats that you would be at. You were in first class, second class, third class, fourth class, and you weren't going to move from those classes. That's where you were, because that distinguishes who you are as far as the amount of money you had and the family you were born into, as well as your race and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know whenever I first meet a person, women in particular, actually, and they ask me, hey, what do you do? For some reason, I'm always suspicious of that person, because I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I think this woman is trying to gauge exactly how much money I make.
And that's funny that you say that, because you should probably tell them that you're a garbage manager or something like that. You know, what do they call that? You know, I have friends that do that all the time, where they just come up with a different title. And I said, but now you've already started the relationship on a lie. However, when we return, we're going to be talking more about choosing that right job, about making those decisions that we tend to make out of boredom that actually ruin our life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know what? We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing the four most unhealthy life patterns we tend to fall into, and how to stop that cycle, but also how to move on. And right before the break, we were discussing, you know, choosing that job, choosing the ultimate job instead of the one that you're going to ultimately quit. And I think that the concept is, you want to choose something that you love, something you're passionate about. It doesn't matter about titles. It doesn't matter about what society dictates is right. And I think also you have to kind of see the patterns you fall into. If you're one of those kind of people that need to be working nights and you're working early mornings, you need to kind of figure out that. If you're a person that doesn't like to deal with other people, and you're in a position that you have to constantly deal with people every second of the day, you need to rethink what you're doing, because you're self-sabotaging yourself. I mean, you can find something that you love. You can find the niche you love. Don't keep going after what you think everybody wants you to do, because you'll never be successful. You'll constantly quit these jobs, wasting your time, wasting your precious time, without finding what you truly want to do. So let's move on to the idea of making decisions out of boredom. Okay, I know everybody listening tonight has made a lot of decisions, normally very negative, bad decisions, out of boredom, because you're looking for change, you're bored, you're looking for something. And recently I had somebody come to me and tell me that they had a new idea of what they were going to do. And I said, what is that? They go, I'm going to shave my head. Shaving my head. And this person has, like, beautiful hair. And I'm thinking, you have all this going on. You're about to do a lot of public appearances. All this is happening, and you're about to shave your head? And they're like, yeah, I need a change. I need something changed. And I think a lot of times we choose crazy things out of boredom, like going back and hanging out with groups of friends that maybe weren't really there, weren't really healthy for us, you know? You're right at a point in your life where you're looking for something, and so you make decisions based on boredom. And I think, consequently, those decisions are normally not good decisions.
No, it's like some people have, you know, had to put that excitement in their life. I need a change, you know, I need to, you know, change the scenery, or, you know, you're stuck in a rut. Now I think about it, that's the one I hear most often, actually, is, you know, I'm just in a rut. So, you know, I'm going to go, you know, buy a, you know, car I can't afford.
You know? And it's like, why are you buying a car? It's like, why don't you look at yourself and figure out, why am I in this rut? Because I'll tell you one thing, it's not because you don't have the right car.
Well,
you know,
no,
it's a bigger deal than that, you know? And you're right, Bill. It's so true.
No, but I mean, a lot of people do make decisions out of boredom. I mean, I know I made a major decision out of boredom. I mean, in fact, I joined the Air Force out of boredom. I did.
It worked, though. You weren't bored, were you?
That's a pretty big decision you made out of boredom.
No, I mean, like, I wasn't bored, even though there were some pockets of boredom. You got to understand, I joined before 9/11. You know, I was like, you know, hey, I'm bored, and I'm sick and tired of Dallas, and I just feel like leaving. I feel like going somewhere else. And so, you know, I did that, you know, as I was joining, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be here temporarily, and, you know, I can use the money, you know, whatever, go to college and all this other stuff, right? Then 9/11 happened. You know, before I joined, I had no clue that I was going to be in a war. You know, I didn't get all hoorah when 9/11 happened and like, oh, I'm going to join the military. Like,
yeah,
I
back when you were bored, you weren't thinking, oh, I'm going to actually have to go to war for this. I'm just making this decision because I'm bored in Dallas and I got to leave.
Yeah, exactly. And then 9/11 happened. And I was like, okay, wow, oh, here we go. You know, next thing you know, I find myself in the desert dodging RPG rockets and mortar rockets and all that other good stuff.
All because of boredom.
But I was going to say, but you weren't bored.
No, here's the funny thing about
he was bored.
Here's the funny thing about war. War is actually 86. I'm like around 80% boredom. Yeah, and it really is.
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. Or you're sitting in your hole, and you know we're waiting for you know Al Qaeda or the Taliban to come and attack us. But the thing is, well, in Iraq, they were pretty daily about it. Actually, in Iraq,
yeah, so they gave you a little bit to work with.
Yeah, they give you. I mean, they do give you a little bit to work with, you know. But after a while, it's like.
But see what I'm saying? Like, so there you are, like in your hole, like waiting it, going, man, I picked this out of boredom. You know, what I mean, now I'm bored in my hole out here waiting on this guy.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like a lot of times we make these crazy decisions. So you know, Keenan made a decision to decide to go into the military and ended up going into war. Okay, and I know other people that make a lot of bonehead decisions as well. I'm not saying that was a bonehead decision, but I'm saying that was a pretty crazy decision. But a lot of times,
sometimes you thought it was a boneheaded decision.
Well, yeah, because it's like you just make this decision because you're like, I'm bored here. I got to make some changes, and I think that's the biggest deal. Is that I think people in general, when things are all going okay in people's lives as well. So think about this: everybody that's listening tonight, that's married, been married for a while, have kids. You know, there's times where you feel bored, I'm sure. There's times where you feel bored. But going out and making major life changes over this boredom normally doesn't facilitate a good ending.
Here's a good one, Ashley. I don't know if this is too much of a tangent or not, but...
Tangents are good on this show.
We live by it. You have an affair because you're bored in your relationship.
That's a big one. I know people that have, and they have affairs, and they get bored, and they have affairs, and then guess what? It becomes a, can we say that, a crap storm? It becomes a crap storm, and you know, all of a sudden, all this stuff's going on, and you're just thinking, and they're like, oh my God, my life is ruining, it's all falling apart, all this stuff's happening, and they're calling you up in the middle of the night telling you all this stuff that's going on, and you're thinking, man, just 2 months ago, you were bored, but life was okay. But now you are completely insane. You're on the phone with me at 3 a.m, and I don't think you know where your butt ends and your head begins, honestly.
No, I mean, like, ever since I've gotten out, I really appreciate boredom. Ever since I've gotten out, because...
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, boredom is nice because, like, you know, the excitement that I had... You know, once I got out the military and everything, I was like, you know, I like being bored sometimes, you know. I like, you know, when I'm like just sitting at the house, I'm like, well, I have nothing to do, so I'm just going to sit around and play this video game and just be bored like that, you know. Or like even now, you know, when I go to work now, like for me, a bad day at work is when I make a grammatical error on something that I wrote, you know, right. Whereas, you know, in the Air Force, you know, we had a bad day, you know, whenever... I'm not going to talk about that right now. But
thank you for sparing us on that one there. I understand where you're going, Keenan, and I think it's an interesting thing that we need to probably define boredom. I think one of the ways to end the cycle with boredom, honestly, is to realize what boredom is. Because I think sometimes boredom means just being relaxed, because some of us never know how to relax. That's one thing. Some of us never know how to slow down. And when we slow down, we think we're automatically bored. And I think the other thing about boredom, too, is that we have to really realize... If you're bored sometimes, like, for example, if you're bored in your marriage, what are you not doing in your marriage? Like, if you go outside and go find someone else to have sexual relations with, I mean, at one point in time, you have to figure out, what do I need to do to repair in my marriage? What could I take time to do in my marriage to try to make this better?
You know, and I think that's a good thing, because I think a lot of times one of the spouses will blame it on the other one. You know,
it's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. You know.
You were never there for me. Or like the woman would be like, you never listened to me. You're never there for me.
Or,
and the man's
you
like,
work too much, or, you know, I mean, what about us? You know, that type of thing. And I think you have to realize that it's not like when you first meet and you're kind of in that glow of, you know, new relationship and all that good stuff. Things change. You get a marriage and a family and, you know, house, that, you know, mortgage you got to pay off, cars you got to pay off, bills you got to pay off, and situations change.
I agree with that. I think also sometimes we also need to realize maybe what we're bored about. I think that sometimes boredom is really actually another feeling for not feeling happy or right in a situation. I think that sometimes we can feel bored in a situation where we're not just happy with it, or things aren't going our way sometimes. And I know I've been there before, where it's like you're working on something. Like in my personal example is, you're working on something and it's taking a long time, and you're creating something and it takes a long, long time to create. And anything good normally takes time. But there's lulls. There's parts where there's highs, and then there's parts that are lulls. And I think sometimes when you get into those lull patterns, you kind of figure, man, God, when is this going to happen? You know, and you get a little antsy, and you get a little less patient. And I think sometimes in those less patient places, you kind of think, what can I change immediately that I'll see a drastic change right now? Something that I know I'll see a change, and I won't be waiting around. And it's like, that's why I think a lot of times people redecorate their house all the time, or they'll repaint a wall, because it's an instantaneous gratification of change.
Well, that's what Americans seek.
Right.
Yeah, we live in this culture of instant gratification. I mean, like, if we didn't, we would still be growing our tomatoes in our backyard. You know, if you know what I'm saying.
Well,
you know,
I grow tomatoes.
Well, you're like one of the few people that actually does some, you know.
It's hard when it gets 100-something degrees. It's hard. They don't grow that well. But I can still buy it, and I still have the stuff up there and the little metal things that they hold. You know what I'm saying? You kind of have trellises out there.
I mean, think about it. We have, you know, fast food on every corner. Or like even in this city, the city of Dallas, we have more restaurants per capita than any city.
Than people to eat in them.
Yeah.
We got restaurants having to go to other restaurants to eat because their place is empty. I don't know. You know, it's seriously, if you want a restaurant, you can go anywhere here down the street. And you're right. But I think boredom is a very interesting thing, because I think everybody wants that change. And I mean, we remember the last president that we had ran on the whole concept of change. Okay, and what was the change about? There was really no definition of change, but it was because people wanted something different. And that's the key. And I think that's something interesting that we have to look at, is that a lot of times when we make these decisions, whether it's to go into the military sporadically, which is interesting, and to me, that's a big choice right there, or if it's to shave your head based on the fact that you're bored, I think you have to look inside yourself and say, what is it that's not moving fast enough for me? Or why do I feel it's not moving fast enough? Why do I feel that it's moving so slow? So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to be talking more about these four unhealthy life patterns. We're going to also discuss about roadblocks and how we put them up in our own life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, we back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Good evening, and welcome back here to Perspectives Live, here with your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's topic of discussion, we've been discussing the four most unhealthy life patterns we fall trapped to, and how we're discussing also how to stop those cycles, as well as how to move on with your life. Earlier tonight, we've been discussing the whole concept of choosing the right job instead of the one that you'll ultimately quit. Making the decisions out of boredom and stopping that, because a lot of times boredom itself is just kind of a figment of our imagination. It's more of something different. It's like the elephant in the room. Like, we can be bored, but is it because we're bored of what? Is it because we're unhappy with where we are in life? Is it because we thought that we were going to be somewhere different? Is it because we thought that we'd be more successful in one facet or another, and we're looking towards some sort of instant gratification to make us feel better because we're experiencing this lull? And I think a lot of times in that lull pattern, we can make bad decisions for ourselves out of boredom that can create drastic drastic problems later on. Like when Bill was talking earlier about, you know, the affairs and stuff like that, it's like you can have a marriage. Yes, it could be maybe boring at some times. However, you know, creating that and adding it, you know, that could be the same person that gets, like, you know, the whole woman that comes after them and tries to kill the family and does all this stuff. And all this happens. And they were just like, I was just bored. I didn't know. I mean, I had no idea this was going to happen. Or, you know, in Keenan's position, I had no idea that I was going to go to war because I was bored. So, you know, those types of issues, you have to sit there and look and say, what is it that I want to happen? And maybe if I focus some of the boredom energy that I have toward the things that I need to happen or take place in my life, maybe these things will come to fruition. Or maybe I need to take a different path and realize maybe my purpose is in a different direction. So let's talk about the concept of putting roadblocks up on your own. And I know everybody in this studio and everybody listening knows that they've all created roadblocks in their own life. So Keenan, let's begin with you. You're in the hot seat right now. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any of those roadblocks that you've recently put up in your life just to kind of get in your own way that you're just now kind of realizing, wow, I put that there myself?
Well, I'm going to have to like probably think really hard. I mean, it could be the job that I previously had, but then again, the job that I previously had like led me to the job that I currently have.
Yeah, I was about to say he's recently overcome a roadblock, so he did have one.
Well,
I think.
You know, that to me is interesting. Like the whole concept of that's not bad because it gave you a stepping stone, and sometimes we all have to start someplace, you know. But I think that a lot of times the roadblocks that we put out there are honestly creating the roadblocks for ourselves. For example, you know, if I came into the studio late and I did it on purpose based on I had a feeling of, well, it doesn't matter if I get there, it doesn't matter. Or I'm trying to think of some roadblocks that we might all have. Like, what about personal roadblocks that we put up, like, in our head? I mean, like, if we put these roadblocks in our mental facilities, for example, I'm never going to be that good. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to amount to much. That's a roadblock to me. And that's one of those ones because a lot of times we think about the roadblocks that police put up and stuff like that. But I'm talking about like the roadblocks that we create in our own mind that are very way more stronger, hold back way more in your own mind because you sit there and you believe it because you'll put it up and be like, well, I'm never going to get this, or this is never going to happen for me, or I better just not try because just trying alone, it's just going to be a waste of my time and it's just a waste of time, you know. And that's what I think a lot of times my roadblocks have been in the past.
Well, yeah, my roadblocks are pretty much, it has everything to do with dating. Like, for example, I don't date, you know, yeah, that's the thing. I don't date, you know, because there's just a lot of stuff I don't want to put up with, you know, in a way. It's kind of like, it's, you know, I mean, like, I'll like meet somebody. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, I don't make enough money, or, you know, maybe she just wants me to, like, you know, entertain her or whatever the hell. But, yeah, it's, like I said, I don't date, you know, and that roadblock is probably all in my head.
Well, yeah, because you say I don't date, so you're saying I don't do something. So first of all, you don't do that, and you feel like you're not going to meet the right person anyway. And so all this stuff is, like, you know, kind of bottled in your head. And so anytime you meet somebody that's probably a genuine, decent person, you're just, you know, you already have all these things in your head anyway, so you're not even gonna think about asking them out.
No, I don't. I really don't.
It's the farthest from your mind.
Yeah, it really is. It's like way back there. Like,
because you don't date.
Exactly, because, you know, I mean, it might pop in my head for a second, but then like something else happens where it's like, oh, well, no, kind of like that person that's on a diet, mm-hmm. you know, and they really want a bacon double cheeseburger. And it pops in their head that they really want a bacon double cheeseburger. But the thing is, though, they see that bacon double cheeseburger, they can have the bacon double cheeseburger, but they choose not to eat that bacon double cheeseburger, even though it's really not going to mess them up too. I mean, it's not going to really harm them.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. I just think that sometimes we put these roadblocks in our way based upon our considerations. Example, you know, I'm never going to get a good job. I'm never going to be happy. I'm always going to be in this position. Nobody's going to ever love me. I might as well pack it up right now and just go back to my house and my bathroom and deal with it. And I think these roadblocks can be overwhelming. And I think sometimes we can actually put fundamental roadblocks in our way by not following through on things, by not doing things, by, know, so a lot of times you might meet people or you might put yourself in the right position. And guess what? You don't follow through. You don't return the call. You don't show up to the meeting. That to me is a roadblock. I mean, because you're kind of saying to yourself, I'm going to sabotage myself on a small thing that I'm not really going to think about, but later on it is. And that's why a lot of times nowadays when I have a meeting set and somebody says, hey, they got to cancel, I'll say, hey, well, just keep, you know, tell me when you want to do it. And I will hold on to that meeting until they cancel the fifth time, and then I'll let it go. But I know that it wasn't me that canceled. It wasn't me that said no. And that's what I always try to figure out, because a lot of times when we go back into our mind and say, well, why did that not happen? You can always say, okay, well, it didn't have to do with me. Because I remember back in the day when somebody would cancel with me or something, I'd be, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we'll just reschedule whenever. Yeah, it never happens. Mm. It never happens. So what could have been? What should have been? And then think about these roadblocks we create all the time in relationships. You know, I can't be intimate, or, you know, I'm not going to get married until I'm 50, or I'm never going to get married because, you know, women are all liars, or men are all jerks, or, you know, I mean, so you have all these concepts, but what about in work? I'm never going to get that promotion. I might as well not even show up, you know, or if I show up, I'm only going to do a little bit of work, and I'm not going to do that much work because it doesn't matter anyway. I'll get paid the same amount. And I think we create these roadblocks in our mind. And I think a lot of times too, we share these roadblocks with sometimes some of our close friends. We talk about it and they start believing it themselves. They start believing it. Oh, well, if you don't ever believe that, then I don't believe that can happen for you either. I mean, you know, like we've talked about that before with, like, Bill came in the studio and said, yeah, well, you know what? This show sucks and I'm the worst, you know, engineer. I can't produce this. Da, da, da. Everybody would be like, well, yeah, that show sucks. It's pretty bad. But when you believe in it, that's one thing. And I think that changes everything.
Tell you one thing I believe in right now. The one roadblock in my way is these evil chairs in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate these chairs.
You know what? We're going to have you stand. You got to stand for now.
That would be preferable, I think. You know?
Well, we can move it here at break.
It's easy for you to talk. You've got the swank office chair over there. You know, I mean, that's nice and soft.
I got the swank studio nice chair. The expensive ones that they give us.
Yeah,
here.
And the rest of us who have to, you know, work for a living, you know. I mean, we got
Go into your control room and I'll switch out. I'll switch off this stuff. I'll switch out on this chair thing. I'll change up your roadblock for you. I'll help out. Maybe you should come over here and I'll go over there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's make it Perspectives with Bill. How's that?
Perspectives with Bill, and I'll be your sidekick.
There you go. You can run the board tonight.
I'll be the sassy sidekick.
Lord help us all.
Oh, God bless. Come on, it wouldn't be that bad. I think it'd be kind of funny. You never know what I'd say, though.
That's a fact. We don't even know what you say. Know what you're going to say now.
I know. You never know. You never know. It's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in. Yeah. You know, so the roadblocks that we put up for ourselves is a big deal. And those are things that a lot of times we don't think about it. We only think about actual, like, solid roadblocks. And you know, sometimes we have those in our life, but a lot of times we place them in our own life for ourselves. So let's move into underestimating yourself and your ability when we return. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how we underestimate ourselves, how we underestimate our abilities, and how we kind of deny ourselves a true reality because we normally put ourselves on a different marker than other people. We actually judge ourselves. We're tougher on ourselves than we are with our friends, with coworkers. And consequently, what happens is we underestimate ourselves and we take ourselves for granted. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's show, we've been discussing those most unhealthy life patterns that we tend to fall in the trap of, how to stop that cycle, and how to move on with your life. You know, earlier tonight, we were talking about choosing that job, the one that you won't quit, instead of the one that you actually like. You know, how to do that by actually following your true love, by figuring out what you love to do, by not falling in the trap of labels or trying to figure that out, but actually kind of finding what it is that you want to do. Also about making decisions out of boredom, how to stop doing that, because that usually messes up your entire life. For a lot of people that have made some crazy decisions during boredom, I can actually agree that most of them, except for Keenan's here actually, which is good, but most people have actually ruined their life off of it, and it was just because of an instantaneous of they didn't know what was going on with their life, they felt like their life was going nowhere, and they weren't really maybe putting the action needed into other aspects of that life. We also talked about putting those roadblocks in your own way, and most of those roadblocks we create are what? They're in your head, they're in your mind, they're just, that's where they are. They're not like actual physical roadblocks that you get from the police or you steal from them, you know, for like helping with crowds, you know, and crowd adjustment. No, this is in your mind, this is what it's about, and we create those roadblocks, like, you know, Keenan was talking about earlier about how he doesn't date, and therefore he doesn't date. And like for some people that say, I'll never find that right job, they're never going to find the right job. And one of my recent roadblocks lately is dealing with the fact that I'm trying to make enough money to, you know, to get by, to pay my bills, instead of thinking, oh, there's something more than that. And so I'm blocking myself from the ability of attainment on that level, because you know what, if you believe it, you achieve it, and you can only achieve normally what you believe. So I guess we should set our sights high, I'm assuming. So we got to figure that out. So let's also talk lastly about underestimating yourself and your ability. I think a lot of us deny ourselves who we are because we always refer and look at ourselves towards other people. For example, we always look at other people and say, they're better than us. They look like they're better than us. They look like they have more than us. They must be better than us.
Yeah, so therefore, you're not even going to try in the first place. I fall into that category.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, you know, I mean, I you know, I don't have his level of experience, or I don't, I don't know him. He doesn't, you know, the whole thing about it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
You know, so I don't have the contacts, and, you know, I might as well not even bother. And, you know, so I've done that to myself. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do that to myself now. Like, for example, I don't hang out in Uptown. I don't hang out in Uptown because I see all those people driving, you know, BMWs, like wearing all those expensive clothes. And the thing is, they have all this money to like eat like pigs, you know, and I don't. So I'm like, you know, they're probably not going to want to hang out with me. And, you know, we probably have nothing in common. So therefore, I just don't go to Uptown, you know.
So you avoid going there because you know in your head, well, there's no way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no way. Like, for example, I only go to, you know, one bar in town because I just, and I like all the bartenders. I know everybody. Everyone knows me. And the thing is, I'm not going to say this bar on air because I don't want, you know, people showing up all of a sudden. But
Come on.
But
we'll talk about it later. Well, no, but I understand what you're saying. You feel comfortable there. And a lot of times, sometimes our comfort zones can be comfortable. Other times our comfort zones can be uncomfortable. And sometimes we don't ever get to see new pastures. We're always constantly doing the same thing because it's comfortable for us. Not meeting anybody new, not going out of our zone. And sometimes that can come back and get us, you know. Sometimes we don't ever know what could have happened.
And you know, that happens to me a lot, Ashley. I'm uncomfortable in places or situations that I don't know anybody or have never been there before.
Yeah.
And I'm just uncomfortable meeting someone new when it's just me. Which, by the way, you know, one good thing about Uptown, Keenan, the scenery is good, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God. Here we go.
You know, but
yeah, it is. It is good. Yeah. I mean, I understand. You know,
scenery is good. But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of like, you know, Uptown isn't my, you know, the place I avoid. But there are places that I do avoid, you know, because it's like, okay, you know, I don't fit in that social class or that economic class. You know, they're not going to accept me. And,
well, I understand what you're saying because yeah. When you underestimate yourself and your ability in any sort of level, you're going to feel like an outcast. You're going to feel like you're not welcome. And I see what you're saying, but a lot of times we underestimate ourselves based on appearances. And when you base yourself against appearances, you're never going to win. I mean, you can't ever, you know, challenge yourself against an appearance and think that's going to work. It's like putting somebody on a pedestal. They're never going to be able to live up to that. Just like when you look at somebody and say, oh, they're perfect. They're not perfect. They might look perfect, but, you know, that's just a look. And so you're determining yourself based on all the negative facets you see in your own life. You see all these things negative about yourself, and you're judging the most negative aspects that you see of yourself against another person at their most perfect state. at their most perfect untouched state. So as you're like driving down the street and you see somebody in their perfect car and their perfect dress and everything, and all this stuff looking great, and you're like, God, they got it all together. And you're judging where you are right now in that lull phase against that person and the way they look. You're never going to match up. You can't match up to those looks because nobody can match up. That person themselves that you're matching yourself up to can't even match up to what you're matching them up to in your mind. They could never even be that way, which is so funny because we create these things in our head that these people are so great and all this stuff, but we have no knowledge of it. We have no idea. I mean, we have no idea what they're going through. We have no idea what's going through their head.
It's kind of human nature to put things and people up on pedestals, isn't it?
Yeah, we do it all the time. We do that, especially in love. We do that when, especially like with crushes and stuff like that. People always put people on pedestals. And I think the biggest thing is that our mind can make us see things in the absolute worst light. You know, the mind can really play tricks on us, right? It can create havoc. It can create this havoc in our lives when we live, right, in that thinking mind that a lot of times we do and not in the present moment. And also, you know, when we live in that thinking mind, guess what happens? Fear. We're fearful. We get fearful of everything. And it's not until you live in the moment and you stop thinking about personal judgment and you stop thinking about other people judging you and you actually just live in the moment and realize what's going on. You get away from all those preconceived notions, because when we're living in the past, we're living in our mind thinking, okay, these people are going to judge me, or I'm not good enough, or all this is based upon this irrational thought process. I mean, if I was to sit there and judge myself against a beauty queen on the TV. Okay, so let's just say you see a beauty queen, or let's just say you see one of the top models, and you're like judging yourself. Oh, well, she's got it all together, and da 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 da. And so you're going from the worst perspective possible.
You know, true story, Ashley. You know, Kenan, I don't know if you ever saw this or not, but Tyra Banks. I forget if it was the Tonight Show or something like that. Anyway, this is years ago, and of course, you know, she's like one of the hottest, you know, models out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's got it going on.
Yeah, and but she actually said this on there. You know, she hadn't been on a date in like 3 or 4 or 5 years or whatever it was. You know, and Jay Leno's looking at her like, are you nuts? You know, why is this? It's because, you know, guys don't ask her out. So she's like, guys, you got to ask me out.
Well, not only that, she's probably being exoticized also, you know, and I found out actually fairly recently, the word exotic is not a compliment. It really isn't. You know, I mean, like, parrots are exotic. You know, you put them up in a cage and that's what people do. I mean, like, you know, parrots do that. I mean, they're exotic and you put them in a cage and they're on display and it's like, hey, look at my parrots and stuff like that, you know. But the thing is, no, you don't want to put people in a cage and like put them up on this pedestal and like, hey, look at what I have. It kind of goes to, you know, what we said last week about, you know, you're going out with the hot chick, but all you have is really a trophy. And that's what exoticizing is.
Exoticizing, Ashley. There's a new word for you. Exoticize.
I like that word.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank
like
you, Kenan.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Tyra in a cage. That'd be kind of interesting.
Oh, and wearing. Okay, we won't go there.
Oh, Bill had already gone there in his mind.
I was going to say I've already been there and back several times.
Well, yeah, I can tell. I can see the wheels moving on that one. I agree with you, and I think sometimes people make decisions, and a lot of times, you know, it's because we place these expectations on everything, right? We place expectations on everyone and everything that comes into our life. And it's not until we actually start living in the present moment that we actually participate. So think about this. When you're living in the mind all the time, guess what? You're a spectator. You're a spectator. It's like you're watching a movie. Okay. But your life isn't a movie. Your life is to be lived. Your life isn't a movie. It's not for you to just watch it on the screen and go, oh, that was a good scene. Or I really think that I could have been wearing something different because I really think that I look like a nerd here. Or I really don't like the person playing me in the scene. I think it's a bad. So no, you are the movie. It is your film. Do what you want to do with the film. If you want to feel like an outcast, feel like an outcast. If you want to feel like you're in the mix of everything, feel like you're in the mix of everything. But people in general that are listening tonight have to realize that to become a life participant, you have to stop being a spectator in your own life. Because when you're putting roadblocks in your own life, it's in your mind. When you're choosing jobs that you're going to ultimately quit because of some sort of status, that status and that judgment is in your mind. When you're putting roadblocks up, when you're making decisions out of boredom, just because you're bored at that exact time, what is boredom? Boredom is in your mind. There is a lot of things you can be doing. You don't have to be bored. And lastly, underestimating yourself and your ability. Yep, in the mind too. So get out of the mind. Start realizing that you are not a spectator. Make your own movie and make it the way you want it to be. You don't have to agree with the films that are out there. You don't have to buy into their crap. You can choose your own, and it can be what 99% everybody can love it. So let it go. Be it. Do it. Have the greatest movie and be proud of it. I had a great night tonight on the show tonight.
It was a great show. Thanks, Ashley. I learned a lot, as usual, on this show.
Well, I hope it's entertaining too.
Yeah, maybe I might. I don't know. Date. I'll have to think about that one though.
I mean, just ask her out, dude. What's the worst she can do? Tell you no.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. I wouldn't even go to the no. Let's not even think about the no. Create the film and know she's going to say yes.
Exoticize her. That's all you have to do.
No, exoticize. No, I know Bill's going to go out and buy a bird or some sort of bird or cage and what have you. So we'll go from there. We'll talk about the canary or whatever he buys for the next week. We'll talk about Kenan's dating scenario as well and see what happens and if there's any new frontier. And in the meantime, don't be a spectator in your own life. You don't have to buy into the movies that they present. You can create your own, because that's the only way that you live your true life. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.